All right, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Classroom, where we talk all things well-being, pastoral parenting, and of course, boys' education. My name is Justin Fugel, head of Ambrose House, and we're also joined here by Ms. Sheridan Carey,
Hello.
Director of Wellbeing. How are you going, Sheridan?
Great, thanks, Justin. How are you? Don't answer that. We don't care.
I'm going very well. Thank you very much, Sheridan. And maybe, Sheridan, you'd like to introduce our next guest, if that's okay.
Allow me. So, this week we are very lucky to have someone that I've been following closely over the last few years, Daniel Principe. I know I haven't got that pronounced right, but you'll correct me later. Look, Daniel is the ultimate champion of boys. And what I just said to the year 10s is that, you know, the world is screaming at you about all things consent and respectful relationship. I think I might have said this in Maggie's podcast, because they are. They hear it from every angle, and there's a reason for it. You know, we've got some problems, and what we need is for our boys to engage with all this stuff and to come up with solutions and have a voice in all of it, I suppose. And Daniel is just the absolute champion. He really has dedicated his life to trying to find ways to improve things for boys and to try and make them see that they're not the problem and that there are so many wonderful things about our boys. And they just need to see it and they need to believe it. So to get him to Billa, he's a non-negotiable in our program, and there's really good reason for it. We're going to have a chat with him over the next couple of minutes. How's that? 20 minutes. Can we edit that out, that little bit out of the potty?
It's a part of it.
Welcome.
We can take it as long as we need to.
Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
That was a long intro. Yeah,
yeah. How good.
Welcome to Villanova Studios. Yeah, it's nice and intimate, but it's a lovely place to be.
Fantastic. Looking forward to this. So, your lads, I've loved engaging with them over the years. And yeah, thank you for stalking me once upon a time on Instagram. And here we are, hopefully creating good things and good learning opportunities for young people and their families. And yeah, bits happened. Last time I was here, it was a film crew here.
That's right. We did the Compass. That's right. That was a year ago.
Yep.
And there was a lot of great feedback from that.
Yeah, it was. It was great. It was so good. It was one of those 10 out of 10 days, if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say that again.
Can
parents hear that? 10 out of 10.
Yeah, honestly, the boys leaned in. So credit to those year 8s, 10s and 11, 12s last year. And yeah, the conversations we got to have, because yeah, we don't do fluffy stuff around here. It's all pretty crunchy. It's meaningful.
Yep.
Needs to be. Lots of time to have a good time in life. But of course, we got some pretty big conversations to have. And as you said, you know, like I didn't get these chats when I was a young person. So I just got to make lots of mistakes.
Yep.
And didn't have opportunities to think about my values, my boundaries, type of young man I wanted to be, to consider women and girls and their experiences and how that shows up in life, in work, in relationships. So yeah, we are doing so much because we care. And I think that's where these conversations can sometimes be confused. It's like, and I think we owe it to boys and all young people to say, no, the reason we're investing in this is because we want to give you opportunities. We want to equip you. It's our job to nurture, challenge, champion you so that you can show up well for yourself and others.
And I know not your motto, but it's, you know, champion boys, challenge culture, and it's kind of that balance between the two. Absolutely, we want to validate and upskill the boys, but on that challenge culture part, that side of things, obviously there's some things that we need to address and help support our boys with.
Absolutely.
With challenging culture, what are the key things that you're kind of seeing?
We can't show away from it because like they're up to their eyeballs in internet culture.
Yep.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yep.
And sadly, I don't think people hopefully won't need convincing. There's a lot of ugly out there.
Yep. Mm.
It's designed to make you angry. It's designed to make you insecure. It's designed to make you hate other people, whether that's see the girls with suspicion or people from other cultures or other walks of life or just to hate on people.
That's
it's really
true.
Angry.
Like everyone just yells at each other.
Totally.
And just flings stuff. And
totally.
Horrible.
It's why I stay off it more than ever because honestly, you just can't say anything or do anything without people wanting to try and
have a crack.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I think that's because it puts you into fight or flight. You're no longer able to make good decisions. You're reactive. You're talking to your partner about, can you believe this person? And you want to get back at them. And it's just, that's one part. And then there's so many other layers. And so, yeah, for boys and for all young people, like the messages they get about themselves and others, you know, the messages that they get about relationships. And of course, they're being bombarded with industries who frankly do not give a rip about them, but just grooming them to make money from them, whether it's gambling, whether it's sexual content, whether it's the social media platforms themselves, whether it's shopping, whether it's gaming, you know, like this is stimulating their limbic systems,
yep.
and it's putting them in that mode where you're in a little zombified state, getting all this dopamine. And the boys and I, we love talking about dopamine. We talked a lot about that today and the challenge that comes with that,
yep.
because that never have we lived in a time in human history where you can get so much quick and easy dopamine that you don't have to work for. You don't have to go and do something. Yep. You don't have to go learn a new skill. You can just sit there with the comfort of this device and have all of your dopamine needs met 24/7.
And you know, Dan, it's so funny because you were just with the year eights, and the second that you started talking about all those things, you could feel the energy in the room spike. And afterwards, you and I were having a bit of a chat about it, but you were concerned.
Yeah.
What were your concerns?
Yeah, well, obviously looks maxing and gambling were the two big things that they latched onto. And obviously, and folks, sorry to say this, but if I walk into a primary school and I say, hey, kids, put your hands up if you're seeing gambling ads, nearly every single hand is going
yep.
up. So that's the world we're in. I don't like that. Mm. And I think it is grooming them and normalizing. And then, of course, I'll let people go do their own research, but there's some pretty significant mental health and relational impacts of gambling, and it can lead in that direction. And so boys get that this releases dopamine, that you get the reward because you don't win every time. There's the possibility. But there was this ladsy bit of banter about it. And I think what gambling companies have done really well, which is an awful thought, is that they've so sold this vision of masculinity in Australia is we bet with our mates. It's, yep. it's you have a punt.
Yes.
Like to be an Australian male, you got to be having a punt mm-hmm. with the lads. Like mm. that's kind of the vision that's sold. And of course, like with everything, on a low level, it's like, oh, well, who's harmed? I'm just put a couple of dollars on here or there. And,
yep.
you know, the reality is it's just being normalized and desensitized and helping boys think through it, think through the risks, because I sit in men's mental health groups. And one of the biggest things is blokes whose lives are absolutely being shipwrecked because of
this.
gambling debts.
So what do we do for them?
Well,
such a young age.
I think we have to be aware of what's going on their screens,
yep.
be aware of the games that actually mimic gambling and are mm-hmm. training their limbic systems to participate in that kind of reward system.
Yep.
Yeah, and to obviously, you know, what's even sad on another level, and I don't know if people will track with me on this, like I love my sport. Like I love it. Like mm. I really do. I wish I had more time to just play yep. sport, watch sport. I love it. I don't because I have other things I got to commit to in life. Yay, welcome to adulthood. As you know, parents, I don't need to preach to the converted, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like we're all in it. So I love sport. I hear from people who are like, they can't get excited about things unless they're having a punt because, of course, mm. you've got this dope, you're riding
really?
The waves.
Yeah, they feel they
it.
Need that
so
connection
it's like
to
you
it.
Couldn't wow. watch a game of rugby, golf, tennis.
Without doing it.
Yeah, without having money riding on it because yep. it adds to the thrill and the buzz. Whereas, see, I just love
That's
a game
wrong.
Of footy. I love watching tennis. I love watching cricket. I love watching basketball. Like, you name it. It's like, I just enjoy it.
But that's interesting that they've got that added element to it. That
yeah, you
I
need
didn't
it for the buzz.
Think about
the
that.
Extra
so
buzz.
It's an addiction.
Yeah. You're looking for another high, right? Yeah. So that was a big part of the conversation today. And like I said, parents, I think we have to be curious. We have to talk about brain science. We have to talk about who wins from this. What are the impacts of this? You know, what is this telling us about ourselves? Like asking curious questions. We
yeah.
can't just say, it's bad. Don't do it. Like
yeah.
as if that
and
works.
Bury our head. Yeah.
yeah. Like it's just like, good luck. And then the other thing is looks maxing, which you're probably listening going like, what is that? I mean,
yep.
we've
Explain
talked
it.
About it
yeah,
more.
Please give me an explanation, please.
I mean, I've been talking about it for over 4 years now and finally was on Channel 7 actually earlier this year talking about looks maxing on Sunrise. And it shows you, and I'm making this point because it shows you how fast youth culture runs ahead and especially online culture, where I've been talking about that with young people for years. And now this year, over the last few months, we've now
off.
Seen it on mainstream. Me.
Yep.
Like it's finally like us as the adults have been like, oh, that's what's going on. And in a way we just can't fathom. So looks maxing, simplest way, flip the words, maximizing your looks. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And there's things like tiptoe maxing or like you could put
you
it to anything.
You can maximize anything.
Like
right?
could I go coffee maxing?
Totally. Mm-hmm. You are. You're caffeine maxing.
Caffeine
job
maxing
right now. Like, you know, it's just
so
like,
ridiculous.
Like, I mean, it's just this whole notion, right, of and I think it's very much a privileged thing to even consider the fact that it's all about like you're optimizing every area of your life.
Right.
But of course, there's nothing wrong with improving yourself. I mean, we all want to hopefully improve ourselves, yep. not just how we look, but hopefully our character, our relationships, you mm-hmm. know, our contributions. Like we want to improve.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
It's just that what these young people are bombarded with is that the main value you have in life is how you look.
Right.
And that is the sum total of who you are, how life will go for you is, are you attractive enough? And can you ascend is the language, you know, can you ascend? Can you make yourself more attractive through skincare? So it's soft maxing, hard maxing. So soft maxing is like the non-reversible, like the stuff that you can reverse, right? So it's like,
what's an example?
Yeah, so get a good haircut, like go to the gym, like skincare, dress well.
That's
like
all these, soft maxing.
Yes, yeah, soft. Okay. Whereas hard maxing is like plastic surgery, taking steroid, you know, like the more really significant disruptions to your body, right? And then bone smashing, which of course
we were talking about.
Your boys are very well across.
Yeah, up and about when you spoke about clavicular.
So so the boys, for the context, the boys know this is a thing, and
most of them do in the community
at the moment.
Yep. Most of them do. Yeah, they're very well aware of this, and so bone smashing is this idea that if I hit my bones, especially my facial features, my jawbone, that it will grow bigger.
But they don't believe it.
Well, some do, some don't. And it's this classic thing of you never know, right? Because everything's a joke, as you know, in youth culture. And I always say to them, like, I just wish I could just wave a magic fairy wand and all these jokes magically made all these problems disappear, right? Because, it's a joke. But then why are we seeing more boys with body image issues than ever before? Now, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that unrealistic beauty standards have harmed women and girls for how long, and they always change. You know, we went from heroin chic, stick thin when I was in high school to now athletic curvy, and my friends in fashion reckon it might be going back, and doesn't end. So we should show solidarity to women and girls.
You do. Spoke about that
and
with
I
the
speak
boys
about
a lot.
That because I don't want to make out like, oh, we're just, oh, what's happening in the boys' worlds. And I want them to have empathy for girls and like that should go in all directions. Yep. I can care about boys and girls at the same time, right? Like we can hold space to realize and realize the differences, realize the disproportionate nature. But Dr. Scott Griffiths, who I met at an all-boys event that we were doing in Adelaide, he's an expert on algorithms and body image, and he said in his research 13 to 14% of boys have an obsessive body image issue in Australia right now. Pretty significant.
13 to 14%.
So about that mark, right?
Yep. Which means, any particular age or just teenage across
teenagers? Yeah. So like that means that they are obsessing about something to do with their body every single day or their whole body, right? And so this looks maxing. You can say it's just a joke, but then the data is telling us that we have had a significant spike in young boys struggling with their body image. And I would say in my work, I hear more young men saying things like, or parents telling me, oh, my son is now training every day.
Yep.
He's training every day and obsessing and thinking and watching everything he eats and conscious of protein. And of course, there's a part of me that's like, well, of course, I want boys to sleep, want them to get a good haircut. We can debate what that is, you know, use skincare, you know, exercise, move their bodies. Of course I want. Eat a well-rounded diet. Do that. They're growing. They're especially
prioritize
a lot of them are training.
Your exercise. Yep. But it's taking it too far.
But it's like, it's a disproportionate value. Yep. It's like this is the most important thing about you and we're neglecting all the other things that make up who you are as a human and who also you are in terms of your relationships and how you feel about other parts of yourself. And it's putting all your eggs in this one basket.
Yep.
And so this notion of bone smashing is this idea that you can change your bone structure through hitting your jaw, and these people tell half truths. And I'm sure you guys have some potential health professionals listening. In a former life, I was a physio. And so, you know, they're misapplying this notion of Wolf's Law, which Wolf was a 19th century surgeon who looked into bones and researched how they grow, how they break, how they heal. And the boys are told that, if you hit yourself with a Yeti bottle, you know. A Yeti bottle, or you hit your jaw with a mallet, it's going to create micro fractures and then you're going to get this big chiseled jawline when, in fact, that's not what's going to happen.
Just like think Mr. Incredible about or something like that.
just makes so much sense. Not.
Well, as a, as an older male, previous generation, it was kind of cool not to care, if that makes sense. Like it was, you didn't need to necessarily care about your body image, but it seems like it's, you know, trending the other way where it's now that it's becoming even more important and influenced, particularly by, you know, the social media and the algorithms at least.
Definitely.
I really like something you said in your presentation to the Year 10s today, and it was about, you know, really all this is about manipulating them being manipulated, and the way against that to fight that is to have confident young men.
Yeah.
you know, it's trying to manipulate you to do something prey on your insecurities.
Not manly enough.
Make you feel not enough. Prey on your insecurities. And the antidote to that is confident, self-confident young men.
Yeah, I want them to be grounded. I want them to like who they are, who they're becoming. I want them to have a healthy humility that I'm also a work in progress, just like I am, and just like all the parents listening. Like, we're all growing. None of us have arrived.
Yep. And we all make mistakes.
That's right. So I don't want them to be demoralized. I don't want them to be arrogant and entitled. I actually think there's a very healthy, expansive middle where it's like, yeah, I'm growing. Mm. I like who I am. I like who I'm becoming. These are my strengths, but these are the areas that I'm growing in. Because, of course, if you feel horrible about yourself, your mates will manipulate you. And believe me, I've seen lots of decent boys who actually I didn't even think were, you know, up to no good, but because they wanted validation because they felt so bad about themselves, their mates just knew which buttons to press every day.
Yep.
And I remember speaking with so many educators over the years being like, yep, he keeps getting himself in trouble. And he's not even a bad kid. He's not up to no good. It's just he's trying to get validation. He's so easily manipulated because he just doesn't feel good about himself.
Yep.
So imagine like what would change overnight if our young people, for the most part, felt pretty good about who they were. Right?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, for our young women, for our young men, and that they're not at each other. And that's probably the biggest thing that I think I really want to touch on for the parents listening is they're just in such a different world. Most of us hadn't heard awful messages about men, about women before we'd even had a chance to get out of the gates and make our own minds up. Now, of course, there's some toxic attitudes out there. Believe me, I've been challenging them for close to a decade. There are some things I don't really like about how we frame and judge women and girls in our culture. And there's some things right now that I think we ought to do better to, I think, have an expansive vision of who boys can be. That, what does it mean to be a man in our modern culture? Just a good human. But young people are hearing awful things said about themselves and others online. And how do we help them critique that and think through that and build healthy identities when they've heard such awful things? Like your young man last year, and you would have seen this when we filmed the documentary, like they've heard from online sources that all women want is money and that they're all gold diggers.
Mm.
You know, that they should go in the kitchen and make someone a sandwich. And of course it all starts as a joke, but you're like, you're being saturated with this. And I just can't see in any possible scenario that this is good.
It's not a fair fight for our young men or for any of our young people,
but we're
talking about young men.
Yeah, it's not.
And they're up against it. And, you know, you said, Justin, you just talked then about antidote. I think that's who you are, Daniel, to the Andrew Tates of the world. And I think it is so important to get people like you in front of our young men at Villa to talk to them about this, get all this stuff out in the open and get them engaging with it. Of all of the challenges that you see, and you travel around, obviously all around Australia, but around the world, you are in absolute high demand at the moment. What is the, if you could say that the most challenging thing that young boys are facing? And I know that's a very tough question because there's a lot.
I would actually say peer pressure. All this stuff online, so unfair. But the peer pressure now doesn't stop. Like for me, it was 8:30 to 3:30 when I was at school and then I actually had respite, whereas for them it just doesn't stop. It's continuous monitoring and engaging and being hyper-connected with everybody. And so you're policed. There's very few spaces where you just get to be alone with your thoughts, do what you want to do, have your own boundaries, have your own space, not be invaded by other people's opinions or observations or having their phones out. I mean, remember, parents, we didn't have our worst moments captured and forever uploaded. And so the peer pressure just doesn't relent. There is no pressure release valve for them. So, all of that. And so that's why I should tell them, like, choose your mates wisely. Mm. You know, the whole adage of you become like the five people you hang out with most. Half true. What's more true is like whoever you're seeking validation from, like you're going to become like them.
Yep.
And so I want them, like, could you be the kinds of mates that make it easier for your mates, the girls, your parents, your teachers, like for everybody to just walk that little bit taller, to feel stronger, more secure, more grounded in themselves, to feel safer emotionally, like to have a go, to learn, to make mistakes. Could we be that kind of presence, right? Mm-hmm. When everybody's so worried about being judged and embarrassed and humiliated. And I think that for me is a thing in male culture that I'm so glad to have left behind. And I want to help boys disrupt it sooner, this idea that we're just going to try and embarrass and humiliate somebody and like till their shoulders drop, their head tips down, and it's like, no, I want us to be the types of guys that help each other navigate what's a tricky time. So this peer pressure doesn't always have to be such a toxic force. Like, I don't know about you guys, I have positive peer pressure in my life. My mentors, my family, my friends, my life, they actually want me to be the best version of myself.
Yep.
And I don't want to have to face them and face the music to be like, oh, actually, I'm not that guy that you want me to be, that you'd like me to be. And so what would it look like to get a tipping point where the peer pressure isn't so toxic and about undermining each other, but actually giving each other the space and the breathing room and the freedom and the dignity to actually have a go at being the best version of themselves?
Absolutely. And I think the problem with young men is the risk-taking behaviours that go with peer pressure. So we've spoken in the wellbeing program a lot about, I don't know if you've heard the story, Daniel, about the young man in Sydney who he was out drinking with a bunch of his mates at a friend's place in the backyard, and a slug went across the table, and one of the boys at the table said, oh, I dare you to this young man, I dare you to eat it. And he did. And a few days later, he was very sick, and they took him to hospital, and he said to his mum, they didn't know what it was, and he said to his mum, do you think it could be because I did this stupid thing? And the mum went, no, don't be silly. I mean, why did you do that? That's ridiculous, but no, that won't be it. Turns out that was it, and he became paralysed, and then he died. And his mates, they turned up every day, and it was a horrible story, but I guess that is peer pressure at its worst.
Totally. That's so tragic and heartbreaking.
But boys, when they're together, and I'm not saying that girls don't either, but there is this risk-taking behaviour, and I feel like what you're just talking about with all of the things that are coming at them, that makes it worse.
It does. And why is the risk not, I'm going to be the most loving guy, I'm going to show courage by not conforming to peer pressure? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. And what I would say is I think we owe it to boys to not just articulate but model that courage, strength, toughness doesn't look like hurting others, picking on others, preying on people's vulnerabilities. Like, why have we so lost sight of like actually doing what's right on principle, resisting peer pressure? So I tell boys, I want you to be tough and tender. I want you to be strong, caring, and kind. But could you define toughness? Because if you ask sometimes a group of boys, what's tough? They're like being alphas, sigmas, vaping, e-bikes, like starting fights, doing dumb things. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, could we talk about resilience, or if you're old school, fortitude, like this ability to do the right thing even when it's hard, to stand up for what's right, to look out for a mate. And I just think we owe it to them to have a more expansive vision of that, because the current stuff is harmful to them and harmful to others. And I think we just have to help them see that being strong isn't at the detriment of themselves and of others.
So it's kind of countercultural, isn't it?
It is.
Establishing a better set of values, I guess, if that's what you're trying to say. Clarifying what the values are, and those values are the thing that kind of support the boys as they move forward. You can have toughness as a value, but what does toughness actually mean? What's our value around that? And sort of building up those.
And if they don't see it, if they've never thought about it, you default to what the pack, Lord of the Flies, says is toughness, right? Like, rather than something that's actually going to make you feel good about yourself and who you're becoming and build your reputation and build your character. Right? Like, which is what we want for them ultimately. Right. And so, I think that is what we owe them within all of that, to help them see that and imagine it and see why it's good for them as well.
So if I'm a parent at home, how would I go about, is it about them on modeling?
Definitely.
That value looks like? It's the people I bring into the community of raising my
son. Yeah, it's what we celebrate. It's who our heroes. Yep. Like, our young people, sadly, and I know parents try to pump up the tires of their kids and it can be tough. And so one challenge I always give at all my parenting events now is like, hey, like, you want people to build up your children. So the challenge is like, build up other people. So where you see good character, where you see kindness, when you see decency, respect, courage, you know, like when you see that, like, let's praise it, right? Let young people know, like, we do value it, because no use having all these lovely values on the wall or whatever if we don't actually praise it, and if our heroes and the stories we tell don't reflect, no, these are the things we value. Like, And so I think we owe that to them. And then to model it, like how do we model these sorts of things so that they have a glimpse of it, right? Like that is huge for me because we always talk about you can't be what you can't see. So like, yeah, what does it look like for boys to see people who are strong and kind, tough, resilient, tender, loving, nurturing, like that, and for them to realize that these are human traits. They're not masculine traits. They're not feminine traits. Like you're going to need this to be a mate, to be a partner one day, to be a boss, a teammate, a coach. Like these are human skills and traits that we all need.
We've got to wrap up soon because we've got to get you in front of our year 11s.
Yes.
But look, what are the positives?
Oh, I get to see young boys at their best every single day and hear their insights and their empathy. And I see so many of them grappling with things that hadn't even been put on my radar until my early 20s, right? So that gives me hope. I think, yeah, there's some challenges because of the culture they're in and because of some social norms we got to get rid of and some things that I think harm them. But, yeah, like we're doing so much and the insights, the empathy, the care that I see coming through for most boys is really, really inspiring. I think parents are leaning in more. Of course, we need to continue to nurture that because, like, it is a village. It's not just a nice little quote on the fridge. Like, it does take the village. And I see parents, I see more dads showing up to not only my parent events, but my, like, male mentor nights or my events for adult men who are like, we want expansive, generative visions for our next generation coming through. Like, we want to see that for them. And so I see a lot of really good stuff happening. Maybe my bias is that I'm working with a lot of schools, universities, colleges, communities that are really buying in. So maybe I'm just a little bit biased.
That's your lens. But no, there are. There are definitely lots of places that are engaging with this and prioritising this stuff. Speaking of parent nights, you were here last year and spoke to our parents, which was really successful. So parents, next year we'll be getting Dan back, so get on board and get your tickets. Anything you want to wrap up with?
No, sir? I think it's just...
We could keep talking.
We've got lots of our questions in my head, but look, I think it's more important just to acknowledge you, Dan, and thank you for kind of what you've been sharing anyway and being that example for the boys, at least in our community. They're very lucky to have that example of the healthy masculinity. And I know we talk about that. And I know, you know, we could talk about the man box and all those things, but it's such a great example to have someone like you being an example for the boys. We spoke to Maggie last week and she mentioned the word lighthouses. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely that lighthouse that could be that great example. So, yeah, we appreciate you. Sorry, go.
Just on that, can I also say there are a lot of men at Villanova, staff, coaches, who are doing exactly that as well. Yep. So I think it's really important that, yes, whilst we have an external amazing person like Dan, we are doing a lot of this at Villa. Yep. And people like yourself, Justin.
Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate that. And look, I think, you know, we kind of like Dan, we see it every day, don't we, Sharon? We see actually really good examples
amazing
of
boys.
Young men.
They are.
More often they're the great young men rather than the ones we sort of challenge or struggle with.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's not – We're doing a good job, I think, which is good to hear. And we've got such a good group of young men and families and communities that we're working with, which is pleasing to deal with anyway.
Yeah, let's finish on that note. Okay.
Let's finish on a high.
On
a positive
Dan, thing. Thank you.
Thank you for
You're
the privilege.
Legend.
Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for letting me come back and work alongside you.
Always. Surely we were going
to
look for some music,
I'll
play
to
out
some
music.
Out music, but I haven't got that
okay,
yet.
Okay, the next
one. I might get the Villanova music.
We've got
team
Madonna
to,
King next week, so let's everyone keep your eye and follow the podcast. And if there's any feedback, send them Justin Furigal's way.
Well, where can they reach you, Dan, if parents want to?
Oh, sure. Just my website, danielprincipair.com.
I was sort of more meaning feedback on our podcast, but sure, let's flood Dan's inbox.
Yeah,
we want to send them there. That's where we're going to get the best information. All right.
And play out music now.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye. Cheers.